This episode of Dollars and Cents is brought to you by T-Mobile Puerto Rico, Walmart Puerto Rico, and Amy Taylor Fernandez voiceovers.
Hey everyone, this is Michelle Contravasquez, and I am the founder and editor of News Is My Business, an online news site based in San Juan about Puerto Rico's business community. With us is Federal Communications Commission Chairman Ajit Pai, who a few hours ago witnessed the voting for a historic funding assignment of $950 million for Puerto Rico and the USVI to improve, expand, and harden communications networks to be ready for any future weather-related events. Chairman Pai, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Appreciate it. If memory serves me, I think that you've been front and center of the telecom recovery efforts for Puerto Rico and the USVI since day one after Hurricanes Irma and Maria hit in September of 2017. Now, over those 2 years, your attention to the islands has been pretty much constant leading up to today's vote. So that said, I ask you, you know, now that the funding has been approved, what's next? You know, how quickly can the first allocations be made?
Well, we certainly hope to be able to move forward quickly, and that's partly because I remember what it was like visiting Puerto Rico immediately after Hurricanes Irma and Maria hit in the fall of 2017, and then I visited again in March of 2018. And one of the lessons I took from that experience is that communications networks are important everywhere in America, but especially in a territory like Puerto Rico after an emergency. And so we want to make sure that as we set up this funding mechanism for broadband providers to expand and harden their networks in the territory, that we're able to do so in a way that's very efficient. We wanted these networks to get up and running quickly. And we also want it to be fiscally responsible as well. And so hopefully we'll be able to do that in coming months.
In coming months. Okay. So do you foresee maybe before year's end that some of the money will be entering the economy?
We certainly hope to move forward as quickly as that. We're going to be sitting down with the staff. We have to set up essentially an auction for the fixed broadband subsidies we'll be distributing. And so depending on how quickly we can set that up and how quickly providers are going to be willing and able to bid, we'll move forward quickly. But our experience in a similar program with the mainland has been that folks are willing and able to move very fast on this because they have an interest in delivering broadband. And so we want everyone in Puerto Rico to be connected sooner rather than later.
Well, and that said, I wanted to ask you, I mean, and it might sound like an obvious question, but I want to get it from you. Why broadband? Why the, the focus on that?
To me, at least, so much of our daily lives, it relies on the internet, whether it is setting up a business, educating your children, doing telemedicine, online agriculture, for example, precision agriculture, but especially during emergencies, those communications networks can sometimes literally be your lifeline to the outside world. And so we want to make sure that in good times and in bad, especially in bad, the people of Puerto Rico have that communications backbone to be able to rely on. And that's one of the things, as I mentioned, that I saw in Puerto Rico, especially the second time I was down there, that the folks who had finally gotten back online had a sense of relief that their families weren't going to be isolated, that they would have a connection to the outside world. And God forbid, if something bad happened, they would be able to find somebody who could help. And that's, I think, a natural human instinct in the internet age that requires an internet connection.
And you mentioned, aside from, from that, the focus on broadband, you also mentioned something that I thought was very interesting, actually in the op-ed that ran yesterday, that the FCC is going to require resilient technology solutions, and among those solutions you mentioned burying cables.
Yes, exactly.
And especially on an island like Puerto Rico and the USVI, where I think a lot of the cables run above the street, it's going to take a lot of money, right? I mean, that's something that the providers have said is very expensive to do.
That's correct. And that's part of the reason why it was important to me, number one, to devote sufficient funding to Puerto Rico to be able to do that job. And then number two, to make sure that those networks, once constructed, would be constructed in a way that they would have long-term sustainability. I very much remember a trip I took in the spring of 2018 to Utuado, in the western part of the island. And I remember very vividly seeing a lot of utility poles that were snapped almost like matchsticks.
Right.
And there were fiber lines on the ground everywhere. And the people there were telling me, look, these fiber lines are essentially useless. We have to replace them. And that helped inform my thinking when we were setting up this program. We don't want to simply build as it was built before, because if there's another storm, and we hope there's not, but of course, we know there's likely to be one.
We're in Hurricane Alley. I mean, it's the reality.
Oh, yeah. And I know how that must feel, because I grew up in Kansas in the middle of Tornado Alley.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a pleasant feeling.
No.
But if you know it's coming, then hopefully you'll be able to take steps to make those networks more resilient. And that's why buried fiber was important to us. And it might seem like a small thing, I understand. But I can tell you, though, when the folks who rely on these networks will be able to make phone calls, to access the internet, to post on Facebook and do the other things after an emergency, they will appreciate the fact that these lines are going to be safe and secure under the ground, as opposed to relying on these utility poles that aren't necessarily as strong.
And absolutely. And I think Puerto Rico... not necessarily in telecom, but in other areas, is experienced with burying, you know, utility infrastructure. And I believe, you know, the Electric Power Authority is one of those. They run many cables underground. So, you know, it'll be just a matter of finding, you know, figuring out how to do it in the best and most cost-effective way possible.
Right.
In your op-ed, you also mentioned another point which, you know, jumped out at me. You said that the FCC will also be requiring a disaster preparation and response plan. Can you provide more details about what should be included in those plans?
So we're going to be fleshing out all of those particular requirements in the order that will be released shortly. But in a nutshell, we want every provider to not just build and improve these networks, but also to have a publicly available plan that can describe exactly how they will operate during emergencies. For example, one of the critical things we found in emergencies on the mainland is that there has to be coordination between the communications provider and the power company.
Right.
Additionally, how will they provide notification to customers that networks might be going out? Who will be the point person that the FCC can contact? And this sort of, if you think through the checklist, so to speak, of the things you would want to know, that's essentially what the disaster preparedness plan would be. And so that way, if God forbid another hurricane comes through, we won't be having to make it up on the fly. We will have that checklist ready to go. And so everyone will be on the same page, FEMA, the FCC, state and local officials, and communications providers, and most importantly, the consumers on the ground in Puerto Rico.
So will you be sharing that plan with those agencies that you just mentioned? To get them on the same page?
We certainly expect and hope to be able to share a lot of information about our preparedness going forward. That's one of the lessons I've taken from the unfortunate number of hurricanes that we've had to work on, is that we need to have all of this done to the maximum extent possible before the storms come through.
Yeah, you definitely. I mean, there has to be a lesson learned overall after what we went through and after what you saw. I mean, telecom services here pretty much collapsed after the storm, and that was very scary, not only for, you know, the emergency situation as a whole, but even for us trying to get a hold of our relatives, you know, stateside or wherever they may have been. I mean, it was just something that was very scary. You know, I was here, I witnessed it, so, you know, I don't want to go through that again.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, I'll never forget the trip I took in November of 2017. We were driving to El Yunque, and I noticed on the way there that a lot of people were parked on the side of the road off the highway near a cell tower. And I was asking one of my coworkers who's from Puerto Rico what was going on. And he said, well, there was probably a rumor going around that this cell tower has a connection to the outside world, wireless connection. So people are just trying to make a phone call. They're so desperate to let their friends and family on the mainland know. And that just brings home to you that there's so many important things after a storm. But your food, water, shelter, of course. But communications is a really important thing, too. You want to let people know, I'm alive, I'm okay, or, you know, I need help immediately. So,
well, you know, it's funny because it reminds me, you know, where I had to go to get signal? I had to go to the Teodoro Moscoso Bridge, the one that leads to the airport.
Is that right?
Yes, I was one of those people who had to, you know, leave my house to be able to catch you know, even a little bit of signal in the probably the first two or three days after the storm. So, yeah, I can definitely relate. Let me ask you something. You know, one of the other points that I think perhaps I'd like to talk to you about, you know, given the large amount of funding that the FCC has approved for Puerto Rico, how will the agency monitor, you know, to make sure that the money is used for what it's intended and according, you know, to the schedule or whatever, you know, timeline you set up? Because that's one issue that, you know, Puerto Rico has always been kind of in the crosshairs of regulators and federal agencies about, you know, giving proper use of the money.
Right. Very important point. So we're doing that in a few different ways. Number one, we are distributing this funding through what is known as a reverse auction. But we're not simply cutting a check to a company. Companies have to compete for this funding. Against other types of companies using various technologies. So they will have a very strong interest in making sure that they use those funds effectively. In addition to that, they have to, they have their build out requirements using. So for example, for fixed broadband, they have to build out to a certain percentage of their territory after 3 years, after 4 years, and after 5 years. In addition to that, they also have to file reports with us telling us how they're doing under penalty of perjury. The last thing we want to do is to pour any money down the drain. Every dollar of this funding has to benefit the consumers of Puerto Rico. And so we want to make sure that we're not just opening the door to this funding, but we're also making sure that the companies walk responsibly through that door.
Right, right. Because that's the thing. I mean, sometimes, you know, there's millions and millions of dollars that are assigned. And at the end of the day, the end consumer doesn't really benefit or see it.
Exactly. That's what this is all about, is making sure the consumer can have the benefit of those networks.
Now, let me ask you, you know, one last thing. You mentioned, and it's funny, I don't know if you have this answer, but you mentioned also that the press release said that the FCC has established that the broadband support needs to be certain gigabit speeds. Do you have an answer to, like, how fast it should be?
So one of the things we want to prioritize is the fastest possible speed using any technology. And so one of the things we noticed in a smaller program that we held here on the mainland was that if we prioritize gigabit speeds, then companies would actually compete to provide higher speeds to reach that gigabit threshold. And so that's one of the things we're going to do in this program that we need in the Puerto Rico fund is to incentivize companies to provide high speed gigabit service. It might seem like a pipe dream today to many consumers who may only use the internet for email, for example, right, or the random phone call, but typically what happens is that their demands are going to scale up over time. And so for the applications of the future, we want the people of Puerto Rico to have the same benefit of very high-speed technologies that many people on the mainland have.
And the question is then, you know, at the end of the day, will pricing go up for the end consumer? Because usually, you know, when you increase speeds or improve services, you know, do you see it on the bill? I don't know if that's something that you're considering or if you have any kind of, you know, opinion on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we certainly want these services to be not just available, but affordable. And one of the ways we do that is by encouraging competition. And so, for example, under my leadership, one of the things we've done is to encourage a whole new generation of low Earth orbit satellite companies to enter the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And especially after an emergency, if for whatever reason a fiber network is destroyed, or even during times of peace, if the networks are up and running, the satellite companies could provide a competitive alternative to help put price pressure on the terrestrial providers. So ultimately, we think competition is one of the ways to give customers an option and also to keep those prices as low as possible.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I think that probably the FCC's objective is also to reach as many customers as possible, you know, with different budgets. You know, I mean, I'm sure that that's something that's top of mind, right, at the agency.
Absolutely. I mean, we want to stretch these dollars as far as we can. And, I wish we had more funding available to get the job done quicker. But using these scarce resources, we want to be as efficient as possible, because somebody who grew up in a town that's on the wrong side of the digital divide, I'm keenly aware that there's so many across the country that just aren't able to participate in the digital economy. And right, that's something I really am committed to changing.
All right. So, you know, any additional thoughts you may want to share with our listeners, you know, particularly Puerto Rico's telecom providers? Are you going to be coming down to Puerto Rico anytime soon? You know, what's next?
Yeah, so I'm very excited about this program. I hope to come down to again sometime. Don't have a specific time frame yet, but I hope to make it down, especially in the winter up here in Washington when it gets cold. I'm much more likely to come south. But in all seriousness, I've been so grateful to everybody I've met in Puerto Rico, both here in Washington and on the island, from Representative Gonzalez Colon to the members of the regulatory board, Sandra Torres, so many other folks down there who've been working so hard to help restore and upgrade the networks. And I just want the people of Puerto Rico who might be listening to know that I'm always going to be with you and trying to close that digital divide on the island. Look forward to working with you. And if anyone who's listening has a good idea, they can always share them with me. I'm on Twitter at @AjitPaiFCC. I try to be as accessible as I can be because I know that the people of Puerto Rico know better than anybody else some of the best strategies for solving some of these problems. And hopefully over some good mofongo, we can solve it on the ground.
See, that's indispensable in any kind of a trip to the island.
I've got to say, mofongo could be one of the universal languages. So
it's hilarious because everybody that visits, you know, they have to try it. I mean, it's a required stop, you know, on any kind of.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah, and for me, it's very exciting. The dirty secret is that at home, I'm not allowed to eat such kinds of foods. I have to be
carbs,
a little healthier. So, exactly. When I'm on the road, all I can eat. So.
Chairman,
but I'm sure no one will tell my wife that.
No. And this isn't, you know, this podcast is going to be a secret. So, you know.
Exactly.
Chairman Pai, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And hopefully, you know, we'll see you again during your next visit.
I would love to do that. Hasta la próxima vez.
Gracias. If you, our listeners, have a topic you would like to hear us discuss in this space, please send us an email to news@newsismybusiness.com with your suggestions. Until next time.
This episode of Dollars and Cents was brought to you by T-Mobile Puerto Rico, Walmart Puerto Rico, and Amy Taylor Fernandez Voiceovers.